So, the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen.
A few years ago, I was speed walking my way up Buchanan Street in Glasgow in a rush to get the train from Queen Street back to Edinburgh. I was living in Edinburgh at the time. It was just before dinner. I was hungry, and if you are around me when I am hungry, I'm often not the most pleasant. So I was in a rush to get that train back to Edinburgh. And as I was walking up Buchanan Street, there was a homeless man on the side of the street, and he called out to me and asked me if I had any money, to which I replied no and carried on walking. I made it about 5 steps from him until I felt convicted of what I had just done. And so I turned around and I went back to him and I said, "I don't have any money on me, but I have a bank card. If you're hungry, I can take you to go and get some food." So the man had a hankering for a fish supper, not exactly nutritious, but in Glasgow there's a fish shop on basically every street. So I took him to the nearest fish and chip shop where he ordered his dinner. And as we were waiting for his dinner to cook, he began to tell me everything that was going on in his life. And I was amazed at just how much this man was having to deal with, just the problems he was having with addictions, the problems with trying to find housing, and with everything that was going on in his life. And so for 5 or so minutes, I just stood and listened to him telling me what was going on. And as his dinner was ready and he received it, we were about to part ways. And just before we did, I said, "I'm a Christian. Is it okay if I pray for you before we go?" And he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "Just having you listen to me for the last 5 minutes has meant more than any prayer you could say." He said, "I actually feel lighter, like a weight has been lifted off of my shoulders, having somebody listen to my problems for the last few minutes." And as we left and I got on my train back home, I began thinking about that. For this man, love looked like having somebody come alongside him and listen to him for 5 minutes. We often have in our minds what love looks like and how we need to love people, but more often than not, we just need to spend time listening. We can love people by listening. For this man, loving and being a loving neighbor just looked like listening to his problems. I mentioned earlier at Tear Fund, we partner with churches around the world, and we spend time listening to them and listening to the community about what the needs are before we respond. For us to truly love our neighbors, we need to understand them. We need to be able to see what it is that they are dealing with and how we can help them, rather than coming in with any set agenda of what we think they need. Today's passage that we heard just now is packed full of so much for us to look at, and so I want to look at a few things from this passage. I wonder which of the people we can relate to most in this story. I actually think if we're honest with ourselves, we've maybe all been a person that has walked by someone in need in our lives. Maybe we've just been too busy. Stopping can be hard, it can take time, it can be messy, costly, inconvenient. And yet Jesus, in using this parable, is showing us what loving service truly looks like. And so he's asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? To which he responds, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love ourselves, and love our neighbors. How are we doing when it comes to all these three things? Are we loving ourselves well? Are we loving God well? Are we loving our neighbors well here in Dundee, but also around the world? How are we doing when it comes to these three areas that Jesus highlights? And the capacity to which we can love ourselves and our neighbors will be dependent on the way we love God. The three are intertwined with each other. It's as we love and receive love from God that we can in turn love ourselves and others well. So Jesus responds to the man's question by quoting him this piece of scripture on loving God. And then he tells them the story which we now know of as the Good Samaritan. And it's within this story that we can see the love that the stranger has for his neighbor. And so I want to have a look at three attributes of love which Jesus shows in this passage, which we can learn to apply in our own lives when it comes to loving our neighbors. And the firstly is that love stops for the one. It stops for the person in front of us. Verse 33 says, a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. It would have been far easier for the Samaritan to walk on by just as the others did, to carry on in his journey, a lot like me on that night in Buchanan Street. It was inconvenient for him, yet he was driven by a deep sense of love for his neighbor. And I wonder how many times we maybe miss out on the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody because we're too busy trying to get somewhere. We often hear of all that's going on around the world, the wars, the famines, the need around the world, that we can become numb to it, or we try and turn a blind eye or busy ourselves with other things. But behind all the facts and figures of those who are being most affected are people, their individuals, their communities in desperate need. I had the opportunity of visiting Ethiopia last year and spending 6 days traveling around the country. I wasn't very popular when I broke the news to my wife that she would have 6 days looking after our three kids by herself. But I spent some time traveling around Ethiopia and visited probably about 15 or so projects that Tear Fund have on the go currently in that country. Beautiful country, amazing place to visit. as we spent our first few days in the northern part of Ethiopia called the Afar region, where the Afari tribe are a very nomadic tribe, very nomadic people. They will travel around with their herds of camels and other livestock. I tried camel's milk while I was there. I don't know if anyone else has tried that. You have? Did you like it? You did? Yeah, huh. Makes one of us. But as we were traveling in the north, we got to visit a project, a village there that had recently had a water tower built. Water, something that we take for granted here in Scotland and love to talk about on almost a daily basis, of what kind of rain we're experiencing, how heavy it is, or the brief moments of sunshine that we may have. But water for people in the northern part of Ethiopia is very scarce. And so this village had recently had this water tower completed, their solar-powered pump that was able to pump water up from 300 feet below to provide the community there with water. Now, prior to this, before this, they had to sit on the side of the road with their buckets in the hope of a water truck to come from Addis Ababa, the capital, which was about 4 hours away. That truck sometimes wouldn't come, or it would take days to come, and so often they would return back to their village with no water. The road which they were waiting on was extremely dangerous. It connects Addis with Djibouti up in the north, so a lot of trucks going up and down very fast, many fatalities on that road. And often people were also kidnapped and abducted and then sold off into slavery later on as well. So very dangerous to be sitting at the side of the road waiting and hoping for water. But I was able to see the difference and the impact that this water tower had made on this community. Not only were they able to have water for themselves, for their livestock, but they were pumping the water along the street to the school, where the kids were able to learn about hand sanitation and keeping themselves clean. They were then using the water to irrigate a small patch of land behind the school, where they were able to grow crops to feed for the kids healthy, nutritious meals. The surplus crops they were selling at the local marketplace to generate an income to provide things like stationery and supplies for the school. They were also then pumping the water further down the street to a health clinic so that they had access to clean water there. A complete transformation in this community in the middle of the desert, all because of a solar-powered water pump. But this was only made possible because of our Christian partner who was at work in this area. And this is a man who grew up in the Afari tribe, and the Afari tribe in the northern part of Ethiopia is predominantly Muslim part of the country, very closed off to Christianity. But this man had an encounter with God about 16 years ago and then devoted his life to serving and to helping his people. And so for the past 16 years, he's been building schools, he's been building health clinics, water towers, whatever the communities need. And it's all come from this man being driven to love his neighbor, to love his people within the northern part of Ethiopia, to stop for them and to understand what their needs are. It was incredible to spend 3 days with him and see him as we traveled around. He would regularly stop in the middle of nowhere to talk to anybody that he could speak to and find out what their needs were. And then he would get back in the car and tell me his next project for helping that community. Just driven by this sense of love, to love his neighbors, to love his people. So love stops for the one. The second point I want to highlight is that love brings healing. We see in this morning's story that the Samaritan, he stopped and he bandaged the man. He poured out oil and wine onto his wounds. He knew exactly what needed to happen, what needed to be done in order to begin the healing process. And when it comes to loving our neighbors in a way that might bring healing or relief to them, we need to hear from them. We need to know them. We need to know their story to understand how we can help to bring healing. After our few days spent in the northern part of Ethiopia, we then traveled to a part that they call the highlands of Ethiopia. Very different, very mountainous part of Ethiopia, very green. Probably not what you think of when you think of Ethiopia. Lots of lakes and where they grow a lot of crops. In fact, it was hard for me to get my head around the fact that just 300 miles from there, there was about 200 to 300 people dying every week because of starvation. But our church partner in the highlands there, when I was there, they had just received, we had managed to get a grant from the Scottish government to provide food for 60,000 households in that area. And so this church partner that we had there, we're also working in a number of communities around the highlands. And so on our last day, they told us that they had one more project to show us, and then we could rest in the hotel before flying back to Scotland the next day. And if I'm honest, I was so excited about that rest in the hotel. It had been a busy week of seeing a lot of things and traveling and spending a lot of time in uncomfortable Land Rovers on bumpy roads. And so I was really excited about going back to my hotel. But what they failed to tell us was that this final project involved an 8-hour round trip along one of the scariest, most treacherous roads I've ever been on in my life. If you've ever seen Indiana Jones, you can imagine sheer cliff faces, rickety bridges. I don't think I've ever prayed so fervently in my life as I did in that 8 hours. In fact, as we were crossing the second rickety bridge, our Ethiopian colleague who was sat in between us, she grabbed a hold of my leg so tightly I thought she was going to cut the circulation off. But thankfully, God heard our prayers and we made it to this mountainside village where we were led up a path to meet with a group that our church partner had been working with. And our church partner had been speaking to the community and identifying the needs there, and they had set up what we call in Tear Fund self-help groups. And we have about 35,000 of these on the go currently around the world. And self-help groups are groups of people, about 15 to 20 people, who will gather together at the church. They will study the Bible. They will learn more about who God is, who they are. They will understand some more about their gifts, their strengths, how to start up a business. They'll have access to a loan to start up their business, which if you're living in the highlands of Ethiopia, to try and get loans from a bank is pretty much impossible. So this is an opportunity for people to work themselves out of poverty. We don't just come into communities and hand out. We come alongside people to empower, to equip them so that they can work themselves out of poverty. And so this self-help group, we were invited into the man's house, and this was set up to help people with disabilities. And so the man whose house we were in, he was unable to walk, and so he would pull himself along the ground. And if you're somebody like that, if you're somebody with disabilities in a country like Ethiopia and many other countries around the world, you are seen as having brought a curse upon your family. And so for your whole life, you'll be hidden away from society. People will walk past you. They will ignore you. They will say that you have nothing worthwhile to say or to bring to the community. And so for their whole lives, this group of 15 people that we met in the house, they had been taught that. So this church had come alongside them to say, actually, you do have something worthwhile. God has given you a plan, and he does have a plan for you here. And so this man had been taught how to grow food. And he had a small plot of land behind his house, and he was able to cultivate that land to provide food for his two kids and his livestock. He was then selling the surplus food down at the marketplace, which was generating an income so he could send his kids to the school at the next village. His whole life had been turned around through the work of this local church. And as he was telling us this story, he leaned forward and he said something to me that stuck with me ever since. He said, "My whole life I have learned how to take from people, but this program has enabled me to give back." And I thought, that is full transformation. That is why we do what we do at Tear Fund. That is why we work with the local church, so that they can understand the needs within the community, that they can love their community well by listening and by responding in a way that is going to pull people out of poverty and give them a hope for the future. And this man had gone from being shunned his whole life to being a pillar within his community. And actually, people were coming from neighboring communities to him to ask how to grow crops in that part of the country in Ethiopia. A complete transformation of who he is. So love brings healing and it brings restoration. And finally, love is generous or even extravagant. We see in our passage this morning, the Samaritan takes the man to the inn and he leaves with him the equivalent of 2 days' wages and then says, I'll pay back anything else on top of that when I return. Extravagant love. We can love our neighbors by showing them generosity, and I thank you so much for choosing Tear Fund as your charity this harvest and for giving in the offering today. Your generosity will help people like Miss Kelly in the highlands of Ethiopia through the work of the local church. I mentioned earlier that we have a vision of seeing 250,000 churches transformed. Your donations and your generosity is helping us to reach that vision of seeing that. So thank you for that. But you can partner with us not only through financially, but also through prayer. Prayer is something that we value so highly at Tear Fund that it's literally written in my contract that from the hours of 9 to 10 on a Wednesday morning, I'm not allowed to work. Instead, I join online global prayers for Tear Fund, where as a staff around the world, we take an hour out of our work and we pray and we worship and we hear about what is happening in the communities around the world. Because we believe that prayer changes things. We hear from our staff in countries that are working in very dangerous situations that how much they appreciate the prayers of supporters around the world. I heard from one who said recently, he said, I can feel the peace of God going with me as I come into villages that I'm working in. And I know that that's a result of the prayers of the people around the world. So can I invite you to join with us and pray? I have a prayer diaries at the back there that you can get, and it kind of leads you through daily prayer, which focuses in on a different community around the world. Because we, Tear Fund, we go where the need is greatest, and sometimes that need is in the most dangerous place. We actually had two of our staff members were killed just 2 months ago in the DRC for doing their work, for visiting church communities, and they were kidnapped and murdered. So we do need your prayers. Our staff, our supporters, are the people that we support around the world, we do need your prayers. So can I invite you to pray? So what are some ways in which you can this week show love to your neighbor? It may be through giving of your resources, of your time, a change in lifestyle, or even just taking an extra moment out to stop and to love that person in front of you. Because there's one thing that love is not, and that is passive. Love compels us to do something. It compels us to respond. As we receive the love from God, we are then compelled to love others around us. So before we sing the next song, I just want to spend a moment in personal reflection, just asking God, how can you respond today and this week to loving those around you? So we'll spend a moment in silent reflection, and then I'll close in prayer. God, I thank you for the love that you have lavished upon us. Lord, I thank you for all that you have provided us with. And God, I pray that this week we may be mindful of our neighbors. Lord, that we may show them love in a way that is real and authentic to them, whether that's people here in Dundee and the communities that we live in, or whether that's those around the world. Lord, help us to respond to what it is that you are saying to us today. And we thank you for this love. In Jesus' name, amen.